Your Bibles, please, in our first reading to Psalm 136. Psalm 136, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which smote great kings, for His mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for His mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endureth forever, and Og, the king of Bashan, for His mercy endureth forever, and gave their land for an heritage, for His mercy endureth forever, even an heritage unto Israel His servant, for His mercy endureth forever, who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever, who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His most holy word. One of those passages of Scripture where we turn and we are reminded that God doesn't care about the critics. Right? He's going to set forth something that to us seems clunky in its expression because of the copious amount of repetition that we have in here. And what the Lord would, I think, tell us by that is that although we repeat, for His mercy endureth forever, some 25 or 6 times in this psalm, we can never say it enough. It cannot be said to the extent that it runs, right? The distance that God's mercy goes, the duration of it and the depth of it cannot be overstated. And so let's remember when we sing and read Psalm 136, that's one of the things we're supposed to take away. That in the statement of God's mercy, it doesn't matter how many times you say it, you can't say it enough. You can't get beyond it. Right? You can't get over the top. You can't get to a point where you say, ah, there, finally, I've accomplished, I've really set out His mercy, truly like it is. No, you can't do it. And if we were being honest, I would say to you, that's one of the things we're supposed to take from Psalm 136. The Hebrew phrase, for those of you that want to learn a little bit of Hebrew phrasing from time to time, it sounds like this. It's ki le'olam hasdo. Ki is for, le'olam, unto eternity, hasdo, His chesed, His mercy, His covenant fidelity. And that's the word there. The word is chesed, which is more than just mercy, more than just faithfulness. It's mercy, faithfulness, covenant, promise keeping, all rolled into one. God is faithful to his covenant. Didn't we hear that earlier today in Ezekiel 16? The faithfulness of God to his covenant. And that's what we see here. So there are several parallels between Psalms 135 and 136. If you were astute and listening in both the morning and the afternoon reading, you're going to hear that in many ways we follow along the same outline between 135 and 6. There are a couple of exceptions to that, but they're minor exceptions. So 135 and 136 are drawn together by the editor of the psalmist, of the Psalter. We think that's Ezra, that he draws that together because they are they're very close in subject matter. They both speak of the goodness and praiseworthiness of the Lord, his uniqueness as the only true God, his operations of creation and providence, his pleasure it is to be a redeemer to his people, their redemption and bondage being delivered by his power, his overcoming their enemies, his election and giving to them his blessing and the heritage of the heathen. All of those are parallel between Psalms 135 and 136. All right, so let's take a look at some of the things that we are undertaking here with regard to the name of the Lord. If we can use Psalm 135, if you will, as a leader into 136, we're still praising the name of the Lord. That is his self-revelation to us. There are a couple of phrases at the beginning here, and I learned this from George Gillespie. I think it's a very good way to understand the phrases God of God and Lord of Lords. Because there are a couple of ways to understand those phrases. And if we get it wrong, it's going to, in the implications of it, it will imply certain erroneous theologies. Okay, so let's be careful over all of that. So when the Lord speaks of himself as the God of gods, it is an illustrious title. An illustrious title. Otherwise, what are we doing? We're having God over gods that really are not. There's nothing there in those idols. God's not the God of some empty idol. No, it's an illustrious title. Of all that are called gods, God is the true God. It's an illustrious title instead. It illustrates his Godhead, in other words. Same thing with regard to Lord of Lords. He is, for all that are called masters in the world, for all that are called leaders or authorities in the world, God is truly the Lord, truly the master, right? So these are important titles in that they illustrate that God is unique. And that's what we ought to hear in this. Not that God has an authority over empty idols. Not that God has a lordship over those who usurp the title of Lord to themselves, but that God is unique, completely and entirely unique. He is holy in that sense. He is separate and apart from all others. Although others have claimed that title to themselves, God is truly the one who is God himself and Lord himself. And that's what we really should take away from those first few verses there. Verses 2 and 3, give thanks unto the God of gods and give thanks unto the Lord of lords. Notice that the psalmist will buttress that argument in verse 4 when he says, to him who alone doeth great wonders. Notice how we're talking about the uniqueness of God. Him who alone doeth great wonders. Now we're going to detail out those wonders. First of all, in verse 5, by wisdom he made the heavens. In verse 6, he stretched out the earth above the waters. In verse 7, made the great lights. In verse 8, the sun. In verse 9, the moon. So in creation, first of all, God is unique. He's the only creator of everything. Then notice in redemption, in the next set of verses. Now we begin in verse 10, to him that smote Egypt, who brought out Israel from among them. Verse 12, with a strong hand, with a stretched out arm, who divided the Red Sea. Verse 13, made Israel to pass through. Verse 14, overthrew Pharaoh and host in the Red Sea. Verse 15. So in redemption then, leading the people of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. Then in the next set of verses, notice we follow along with the walking them and providing for them through the 40 years of wilderness wandering. So, to him which led his people through the wilderness, and then to him which smote great kings and slew famous kings, Sihon and Og, and then gave them at the end of that their land for an heritage. So he safely conducted his people through the wilderness. He slew kings for their sakes, and then he brought them to their inheritance. So in God's works of creation and in God's works of redemption, he is unique. He is God of gods and Lord of lords. All right, so then after that, he gave them the land for an heritage, even a heritage to Israel, his servant. And then in verse 23, he remembered us in our low estate, redeemed us from our enemies. So notice God's ongoing care for his people. It's not just he brought them into Israel, he wound up that clock and kind of let it buzz away. No, he continues to provide for his people. And all of this based on the opening lines, give thanks unto the God of gods and give thanks unto the Lord of lords. And then at each turn, we are counseled to praise him because his mercy endures forever. His covenant fidelity endures forever. So, if we could put it this way, his covenant fidelity is seen in his uniqueness. He is the only God, the only Lord. His covenant fidelity is seen in his creation. His covenant fidelity is seen in his redemption. His covenant fidelity is seen in his provision. His covenant fidelity is seen in that he brings his people to their inheritance. And his covenant fidelity is seen in that he keeps and sustains them in their inheritance. That really is Psalm 136 in outline form. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.